gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, I'm sorry. He's doing the official three-year-old of the Stephanie Miller Show, Miranda, singing Walking on Sunshine. Thank you, Jim. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. All right.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yay!
I'm walking on sunshine. Wow.
That's enough. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice of deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Hal Sparks is asleepy. Sexy
yeah.
liberal Hal Sparks just got back from Germany late last night, so he will join us next week. He is asleep. He's a napping now.
He may call in during hour three of the show today.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I think
it's
he's
still...
at the old Nazi camp. Not camp. It's a place on the Baltic Sea that they're talking about online. It looks like a barracks. There was they planned to make it this big vacation resort, and it just looks like hell.
Wow, can I just say that's the earliest Nazi reference Jim Warren has ever wedged in with a sledgehammer. It's all right. Okay.
Can you wedge with a sledgehammer?
It's still a happy, clappy day because Ron Barber won. Gabrielle Giffords' old seat and a bunch of other teabaggers went down, so to speak. We'll get to all that.
Went down, I get it.
First of all, it's a proud day in any 89-year-old Republican mother's life when her daughter shows up on television with a Beaver Liquors hat.
Oh, dear.
Why, thank
you. Wow.
Mike in Rocky Mountain Mike sent this to me.
That's right.
He moved right next to Beaver Liquors.
Yes. Did they name that place unironically?
Nice Beaver.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just had a
I think they knew what they were doing. They're in the liquor business, for God's sake.
John in Oahu writes, Staff, Rocky Mountain Mike mentioned he works close to Beaver Liquors, but the valley is actually more beaver-centric than one might know. Just down the road from Beaver Liquors is the shop Beaver Divers.
Oh.
Because of the...
Because so much diving goes on in the mountains of Colorado.
I only wear, unfortunately, hats that are black, so I will give this to Jim, who is also a fan of...
Here we go.
Of Beaver Liquors?
Beaver Liquors, yes. Here we go. Okay. All right. Okay. And speaking about Rocky Mountain Mike, does he send us a tribute to my, as it's called, the Green Pashmina incident of 2012?
Yeah. Yeah.
The unfortunate Pashmina I was photographed in with Cher last week.
Legend is on from Chickawaga on down of the little chick they call Old Chigushmi. Superior she feels if she's had a good meal, and her ideas come from I love Lucy. With a fresh load of cash, she went out for a bash, fully loaded with her box of vino. And later that night, with Cher's arm on her right, came the wreck in the lime green Pashmina.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
It goes on for another hour.
An hour and a half. Jim, who said Romney is promoting consumer-driven health care, which is absurd because health care is not a commodity. We don't comparison shop by price when we get sick. We just want to get well and look for help. And insurance companies don't compete like other industries because we need health care. And they are the gatekeepers to that care, so they hold monopolies and compete to see how much the market will bear as opposed to competing to lower price and grab customers. Also, buying across state lines is dangerous for the consumer because the insurance companies will just set up in states with looser rules like your credit card companies do. Who said that?
Rick Moranis.
No. Really bad
exactly.
guess. Newswoman extraordinaire Jackie Schechter, and healthcare expert, who joins us now.
I have to be careful what I send you an email from here on.
Anything you send can be used against you.
Don't worry, I won't read the other one about that. Never mind.
By the way, Steph, true story. When I studied abroad in college, it was through Beaver College.
That is so awesome. Good
They've
job.
Since changed their name, but that was actually the name of the college that sponsored my abroad program.
Wow.
Boy, oh boy. Thank you for that Jackie Schechter fun fact. Well.
Where abroad were you?
Oh. I went. I did go to London.
Oh,
cool.
Oh boy! You know what? I know what Jim's new screensaver is going to be. Anyway, let's get on to Jackie Scheckner comes to us from. Well, she was at CNN, but then she did. She was in a serious health. That's what you were working for, healthcare reform.
Yeah, I was the national communications director for Healthcare for America Now, which was the big progressive healthcare campaign.
Awesome.
And so exactly. And I got to talk because it's interesting. You had emailed me about stuff that I was having suspicions about, but let's talk about Romney first of all. He said he hopes the Supreme Court does the right thing and strikes down Obamacare. Here he is. Mitt Romney. Yes, cut six. There we go. She probably has this in her news center. Here we go. Take a listen.
The Supreme Court is about to make a decision with regards to Obamacare. And I have right here in my pocket what they're going to say. Actually, I don't know what they're going to do. But, you know, regardless of what they do, it's going to be up to the next president to either repeal and replace Obamacare or to replace Obamacare. And I intend to do both.
Huh?
So what he talked about yesterday...
Yeah, he wants to repeal and replace.
Tragically unfunny.
Yeah.
I agree with both things I said. With both things I thought at different times.
Wow.
Let's talk about what he proposed, though, Jackie, because it really is kind of horrifying. He's talking about a healthcare system like a consumer market.
Yeah, I mean, if he knew anything about the economy, he'd understand why this is not feasible, because healthcare is not a consumer good. Right. At some point, everybody in their life is likely going to need some sort of healthcare. I think we can all bank on that. Right. And you don't shop around for prices when it comes to healthcare needs, and I mean this in terms of, let's say you break your leg. You're not going to say, okay, I have a broken leg. Let me call around and see who's going to have the least expensive cast. You go to the nearest emergency room and get your leg set.
Yep.
So this is not something where you can go out and shop for pricing or shop for services when you need them the most. It's something that we absolutely have to have, and especially in instances of emergency. So it's not a consumer good, and treating the market like it's a consumer good is just not economic or even morally feasible, to be perfectly honest.
Did you hear he likened it to tire, automobile, and air filter markets?
Oh,
I'm guessing this is a man who's never had to pay for his own health care entire life.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't understand what it means to be left without health care coverage, whether that means without health insurance or without access to a quality health care or affordable health care. So for him, it is a tire, which he probably doesn't shop for either.
Yeah, he's not really acquainted with anything.
He's never been to Costco to wait in the tire shop.
Yeah. He's going to get on a bus on Friday. But.
Yeah, so he said he led an alternative plan that would make health insurance system more like a consumer market. He fleshed out a plan he proposed earlier that would apply free enterprise principles. Oh, great!
Yeah,
to the nation's healthcare system, rather than operate it like a government-managed utility, letting competition drive down prices and increase quality.
Well, that's the irony of it, right? First of all, because the Massachusetts plan is what he implemented, right? So that's entirely counter to what he's now proposing. But the second part is that national healthcare reform, as implemented, is actually supposed to be designed, if we had a public option, it would work better, but it's supposed to be designed to increase some sort of competition or at least let you shop for a health insurance plan so you can compare them side by side.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in the best way that we can offer some sort of comparison marketplace for people without letting it be a free market enterprise where they just run wild without any sort of regulation whatsoever, what he's saying essentially is what healthcare reform is meant to do.
Well, and how about this part? He vowed to divert federal Medicaid dollars and other federal funding to state governments, making them responsible for covering the uninsured. And of course, the Obama administration saying that they're going to underfund such care and leave state governments no choice but to leave people uninsured.
Yeah, I mean, the states are already struggling. We know that, right? States and local governments are already having tremendous problems with their budgets. So to then make it totally a state responsibility to take care of their sick and their needy is totally economically impossible.
Well, and let's talk about this other thing you mentioned, that Romney also said his plan will help, proposing letting people buy insurance across state lines, because conservatives are always talking about this. And what's your take on that?
Oh, this is one of my favorites. So people always say, let's open it up and buy across state lines. Well, if you can buy across state lines, that means you're not subject to any state consumer protections.
Right.
And all of the protections that are in place right now to take care of you are based state to state. So just like your credit card companies are all set up in Delaware or some of the states with the loosest regulations, that's what would happen to health insurance companies. They would go to the state with the least common denominator when it comes to any sort of consumer protection. So it sounds great on paper, but when you dig into the details, it's really bad for you. It's great for insurance companies, but it's really bad for the people that they're allegedly going to cover.
Well, right. And then Rami also went on to say his plan will help cover people with pre-existing conditions if they lose or change jobs, though Americans already have had such coverage, of course, since the 90s with COBRA. Thanks, Mittens, for giving us something we've already had. But take it, but listen carefully to what he said yesterday.
Here's so let's say someone has been continuously insured and they develop a serious condition. And let's say they lose their job or they change jobs, they move and they go to a new place. I don't want them to be denied insurance because they've got some pre-existing condition. So we're going to have to make sure that the law we replace Obamacare with assures that people who have a pre-existing condition, who've been insured in the past, are able to get insurance in the future, so they don't have to worry about that condition keeping them from getting the kind of health care they deserve.
Ooh. So you want Obamacare, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah.
No.
If you listen carefully, at the very beginning, he kind of said under his breath, if you've been continuously insured.
That's the loophole. That smells loophole-y, Jackie Shetner.
Yeah, I mean, I want a dressage pony for my birthday. it's a continuation of coverage if you already have it, but it does nothing for people who don't have health insurance. And what happens now, which I found really interesting, is that, and this is the problem we run into, is that you can get coverage through these federal insurance programs that have been set up or like high risk pools, but you have to be uninsured for 6 months before you can qualify.
Yeah.
So there's a huge gap right now that a national health care reform will take care of. But in order to qualify for any of the programs that are in place right now before the big parts of health reform kick in 2014, there's some loopholes that are still leaving a lot of people uncovered. And all that Romney's suggesting is a continuation of these terribly flawed policies.
Well, I'm sure we get you covered if you're dead.
Exactly.
Except we got you. We got your back.
Yeah.
We got your big dead back. Jackie Shetner, you're going to have to get a Turk or something to do news because I need to hold you through the break so we can talk about insurance companies.
We can do that.
Oh, yay!
Yay! Awesome!
Jackie Shetner remains in the sidecar.
Could be an old Turk.
Because this is the big part, is this insurance company thing.
Yep.
Because it had just happened, and I asked Alan Grayson about it yesterday, and I thought the same thing Jackie did. I'm like, oh, this, and then sure
enough, on
HuffPo, I was like, yeah, I don't know why. This smells funny.
Yeah.
This insurance company being nice thing. So we'll talk to Jackie about that in just a second.
Because that's against their best interest to do something like that. They
I'm
would
like,
never
oh,
do
look,
something like that.
They're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Oh, look what President Obama's done. Wait a minute. All right, so we'll talk about that in just a sec with Jackie Shetner on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I went to see the doctor today.
I see what you did there.
Yep.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour, our big guest, Jackie Shetner, in the current news center. Jackie, we would love to have you here in studio with us if I weren't afraid of Jim pawing you like a perverted bear for all 3 hours.
I was actually wondering with Hal out, for whose affection shall we now vie?
I guess it's Jim.
Jim.
Not a lot of money in the kitty here to pay off sexual harassment suits, so we'll just keep you safely ensconced in the current news center.
I think there's a rider in my contract.
So I was talking, this news broke, and I was talking to Alan Grayson about it yesterday, who, you know, you and I were saying has been such a healthcare warrior, but, you know, at first blush, you didn't know what to make of this. Insurance companies saying, oh, you know what, even if it gets struck down, we're still going to keep these provisions in place. But you sent me a piece on HuffPo, Don't Be Fooled by the Big Insurance Companies, and you said that's exactly what you've been saying.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by Senior Grayson's response. I do call him, former and future? Is that what you call him?
Former and future.
I was a little surprised by his response because he is such a tremendous advocate and a great ally, and I thought that he would see through it instantaneously. But yes, I mean, it is a genius PR stunt on their part because most of the public's not paying close enough attention, and it looks like, oh, the insurance companies are going to do something nice and they're going to keep the popular provisions in place. But essentially what this is a big giant ruse, right? Because first of all, the stuff that they're talking about keeping in place, like letting young adults under 26 stay on their parents' plan, or some of the other benefits like the Medicare donut hole, which is already starting to close, to keeping that in place. They're already in place, right? So it would take more more work for them to repeal them than to keep them going, and it doesn't cost them anything. This is not a tremendous expense for them in any way. So what they're saying is they'll keep them in place, and it's not going to do any harm to their bottom line.
Well, you know me, I'm a happy clappy liberal, but I don't want to be Lucy in the football here, because as you say, this HuffPost piece says this would seem to be a good thing, and some are praising these companies, but no one should be fooled. This didn't happen out of the goodness of insurers' hearts. This isn't about corporations doing the right thing, and it didn't happen now, just a few weeks before the Supreme Court ruling, by coincidence. And he echoes what you just said, Jack. This is a PR offensive. The coordinated announcements by three of the five biggest health insurance companies is a cynical tactic to signal to the high court that it's okay to gut the law and remove its consumer protections because health insurance companies will act responsibly and police themselves. That really is scary, isn't it? No more insurance company abuses. The free market won't cost consumers their health anymore. The insurer's message to the court, it would seem, is it's a new day, so stick with the old rules.
Yeah, let's not forget what brought us to this point in the first place. Our healthcare system is tragically broken. We're leaving millions of people without healthcare coverage. We have 40,000 people who die every year because they can't get access to health insurance and therefore healthcare. And it's bankrupting us as a country. So what they're saying is, if the Supreme Court, it's a signal to the Supreme Court to say, go ahead and strike it down, because we're going to play nice now, which is absurd. And the second point that the piece made, which I actually didn't think about and was very strong, was that it's giving cover to Republicans who are now in a panic.
Just going to say, right.
Because they see that there are some points of the health care law that are very, very popular now that they've come into play, and they don't know what to do because they don't want to anger the insurance company by continuing anything that the insurance companies don't approve of right off the bat. So the insurance companies are saying, okay, we'll give you some cover. We'll continue these things voluntarily, that being the key word, because there's no requirement. So they can say, okay, we'll voluntarily do these things, and then a month from now they'll change their mind.
Well, that's exactly it. That's the whole point of consumer protections, right, Chuck? I mean, this is exactly what the Ethan Rome piece is saying at the HuffPo. Insurance companies are only talking about voluntarily expending a few of the benefits they're now required to offer. It won't cost them a nickel. Those costs are baked into the premiums. The families and businesses that purchase health insurance can expect to have these benefits, and insurers not wanting to look like guilty parties won't yank them in mid-policy year. But you're right, Jackie, we've all dealt with that, where our premiums suddenly go up and there's no control and there's no regulation, right?
Right. I mean, what are the things that we need right of health care reform? The most urgent things, right? We need coverage for people without pre-existing conditions, rather. We need coverage for children with pre-existing conditions. We need some sort of cost control in place because premiums are skyrocketing without any explanation for why that's happening necessarily. They just happen arbitrarily. And we need to get people covered who can't afford coverage. Those are all of the things that national health care reform is going to do or is aiming to do. And the insurance companies are now saying, here's a little nugget you can have. Mm-hmm. We'll give you that. And otherwise, we'll take care of ourselves.
Yeah, and you're right. And the piece ends, insurance companies can't be trusted to behave as good actors unless laws are on the books to prevent them from being bad actors. And that's exactly it. What's your final prediction, Jack? Do you think this is going to affect the way the Supreme Court rules or not?
I don't think this particular PR move is going to make much of an impact, but I am concerned about what the Supreme Court's going to do, because I think that the scapegoat for the court is going to be striking down the individual mandate, and I worry about how health care reform will unravel in the wake of that. I can't predict with any certainty, but...
Let's end on a happy clappy note, or turn into single payer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We could become
another province of Canada.
Jackie,
I think you're referring to the Jeff Greenfeld piece, which pointed out the constitutionality issues and behind that. But it would be a happy world if that happened, certainly.
Sure would. Wait, you better get to work. You got a newscast coming up. What are you slacking around for? Jackie
Wasting Schechner. Time with you.
We love you, Jackie Schechner.
See you back, guys.
All right. Bye. All right, there she goes. We'll see her at the top of the hour again. All right. Miss her already. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They're all the same. All men are perverted pigs. All they care about, really, all they think about is...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's go to Debbie in New Hampshire. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Good morning, guys. I wanted to tell you I was in Boston. Your show was awesome.
Oh.
We had such a great time.
Yay, thank
you. And you,
you
look a lot better in person than you do on TV.
Wow, thanks.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And I wanted to make a comment. We have a lot of those Romney, you know, things that they put on the roads, the slogan.
Yes.
And it says, believe in America. And I keep telling my husband, I'm going to write one and stick it in my house that says, I can only believe in an America that can guarantee me hope and change.
Yep, there you go. There you go.
It?
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I was good. You're smartest girl in class. Deb, I purposely, as a fine American, I do this for you. I tone it down on television so as not to make people, you know,
sure.
insecure. I hide my light under a barrel.
Bushel.
Bushel. Something. Deliberately. It's because I give and I give.
Yeah.
I'm a helper like that. All right.
Yeah,
hey,
I uglify myself before, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Just yeah.
So,
we don't want
so I don't make George Clooney nervous.
Exactly. Yeah, so. We don't want to rub it in.
Right.
All right. Look, it's the John and Pam Show.
From Ohio, it's the John and Pam Show. It's the John and Pam, John and Pam, John and Pam Show.
Hello, John and Pam. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, you're going to get a kick out of this.
Uh-oh.
Old Bonehead and Mittens are going to be coming to Troy, Ohio this coming Sunday to relate with the common worker.
Yeah.
And also on that, yesterday when Pam and me were on the road doing a little traveling, we were listening to the Left Channel on XM Satellite.
Yes,
and,
right.
And we found out that on from that that Michelle Bachmann took down the American flag in her office and put up the
Tea Party flag.
Tea Party
that
flag.
Don't tread on you
I was
going
to say
wow.
Marcus put in the rainbow flag. Fabulous.
Yeah, and plus last night when we were watching the Ed Show and that and everything, there was some stuff brought up on that that the possible Republicans are slowing this down, and there was the word treason brought up again.
Wowee. Yeah, that's, I mean, this is the thing. You know, they're signing pledges to Grover Norquist mm-hmm. and, you know, saluting the Tea Party flag rather than, you know, pledging to uphold the Constitution and saluting the American flag. And I can say that because I do my show from the middle of Captain America's underpants.
Well,
quick, can you put
also,
Mom? Can you put Mom on? Pam,
yeah,
are you there?
She is.
Okay.
Someone. Hi, baby girl.
Hi.
And how's my two men doing out there?
Doing great, Pam.
Pam, you're like, you know, you're kind of like my mom in that you think you thought I looked good even in the green pashmina.
That's right, honey. You look good in any color.
Thank you.
That's how I look at it.
Actually, you're not like my real mom because she once said on television that I was ugly as a child. She actually did.
Well, my mama said that about me, too. But let me tell you something. I don't pay no attention to my mother, so whatever.
All right.
Hey, now, I tell you what. I'm so thrilled to death that Mittens is going to be here in Ohio, and I'm sure that idiot governor of ours will be right there beside him.
That's right.
I can't
He's
wait.
Supposed to be, actually. They're
yeah.
supposed to appear together.
Yeah. yeah. So they can explain... You know, he can explain again how he's solely responsible for how great the economy is in
yeah.
Ohio, while and, Mittens explains how horrible the economy is, right?
And save the auto industry.
Yeah, yeah, which is why the economy's doing better in Ohio. Hello,
yeah.
Kasich.
You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to put them three in a bucket and see which one can jump out first. They'd be stomping and stepping all over each other. All a bunch of idiots.
Oh, my God.
John and Pam, I love you with the heat of 1,000 white-hot suns. Thank you, honeys.
You too, sweetheart, and you guys have a good week.
Right, you too, John and Pam.
All right.
That was Pam-tastic.
That was fantastic. Yeah, let me try to reenact that magical moment my mom on TV. An interviewer asked her, she said, oh, dear, you wouldn't have recognized her when she was a child. And he said, oh, really? Why? And she said, oh, dear, she was a little ugly thing.
Really?
Well,
okay.
I've seen the picture.
Called a backhanded
compliment. Well, she was right.
There was...
My mom was, you know, into the truth.
How old were you in that one picture where you're up on stage with the rest of your family? You're, like, really young, like two?
Oh,
and
three.
Three, and your eyes
yeah,
are crossed.
Yeah, my eyes going the other way. Well,
yeah. Well, they were wall-eyed.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
they were
wow.
a little Ron Christie. They were a little...
Yeah.
Groucho eyes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like, a natural afro. Like,
yeah.
Like Link on Mod Squad.
Yeah. Like a young Tina Fey.
Oh,
actually.
Dennis in Pennsylvania. Hi, Dennis. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to give voice to those that are the least among us. I live in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and you may or may not know that we have a Republican governor who will not tax a dime out of the oil and gas. But to save money, in 2011, they now passed a law that you can only, if you, for just the welfare people at this point in time in 2011, you could only receive 6 prescriptions per month paid for by, quote-unquote, the insurance company. But I am not myopic. I've been disabled for years, since the age of 19, and I'm now 54. And what I take 22 medications per day.
Wow.
And they're telling me I can only have 6. Oh, well, we can get you exemptions, but you got to call the insurance company. So you call them and you say, please send the exemptions, or they're supposed to automatically send what is not covered to the physician.
Yeah.
You would not believe the messages I get from these people. They speak to you as if you are obtuse.
Yeah.
Well,
Dennis, I mean, that's why, I mean, the fact that anyone ever devised the healthcare industry to be for profit makes no sense to me in the first place. And Romney's and Romney's remedy is to make it more for profit.
Yeah.
I mean, to run it like Bain. I mean, it's just, it's insane. This piece, Jackie and I were talking about, this would be so awesome. It's a Jeff Greenfield's piece, but he says, it's in the Isn't It Ironic file. Supreme irony, would a single-payer health care plan be less vulnerable to the court than the Affordable Care Health Care Act? Yeah. For me, such a decision will take its place among the most more supremely ironic of unintended consequences. A law designed to avoid greater government intrusion into health care will have been invalidated as an unconstitutional overreach of government power, while a far more intrusive approach would have clearly passed muster.
Right.
How could this be possible? Welcome to the wonderful world of constitutional interpretation. We will ask a legal
analyst,
right, Ian Millhiser of the Center for American Progress next hour about this, about what's going on with Eric Holder. A lot of stuff going on in the courts.
John Cornyn,
Florida, the Department of Justice, and there's all sorts of stuff going on legally.
Yeah, John Cornyn said to Eric Holder's face yesterday, "You need to resign." And Eric Holder was like, "I'm doing no such thing."
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll talk.
What gives him the power to tell him to do that?
Because he put his hand on the Tea Party pamphlet and he saluted the Tea Party flag and he said, okay. Catherine in Tucson. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, Ron Barber country here.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Yay! Catherine, I didn't see the final result. What is that? What's the
52-45, Barber.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. That's
landslide.
You know what? Jesse Kelly is now going to have to get his own medical insurance. How about that? And he'll have to take some student loans and go back to college because he's only done 3 semesters of college.
Oh dear!
He wanted to
If only somebody could give him some. If only they could get some student loan help to him. Maybe he can talk to his Tea Party.
Baby.
Sucks to be him.
Are we being a little gloaty, Catherine? A little bit.
We're not gloating or anything. No, we're fine.
Yeah. No, I wish him well with getting student loan help.
Take care.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. She was being gloaty.
Yes.
Okay, Ann in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ann.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
It's really nice talking to you folks today. I'm watching you right now on Current. And I'm really happy I have this channel on. And good morning to the 2 handsome gentlemen you have there with you.
Pardon me?
I said,
good morning to the handsome gentleman.
Oh, is that you?
Yes.
Oh, it could be me. You never the handsome gentleman in the hat.
I thought you were Steve Perry.
Every morning. This morning I always watch C-SPAN in the morning before I turn over to your channel. And C-SPAN. And I was watching Blowhard Grover Norquist. And he really sent my blood pressure up,
you know,
every time I listen to that man, you know. And he was the man who lobbied and successfully for Ronald Reagan to put the second largest building, second to the Pentagon, in Washington, D.C. He talks about taxes, you know, and he was the biggest spender of taxes during the Reagan era.
Yep, absolutely.
And then he's blaming... Obama for everything. You know, we all know what happened.
Yep. And you know, the problem is you don't need to watch C-SPAN. You just come right to our panel, and we will magically lower your blood pressure. There you go.
Just in.
We've never been called a panel.
Sad news from Washington. Grover Norquist just drowned in a bathtub.
Oh, no.
I'm so sad and ironic.
Yes.
Stop it. panel. I was we're like little fart jokes with slide whistle.
Yeah.
Panel. Like this is McLaughlin or something. Okay.
Maybe faux wood paneling.
Yeah. Right. Outer Clift.
Well,
wrong.
It's like McLaughlin in that you both are always wrong.
Wrong.
Lewis in Louisiana.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Thank you.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, hello, Lewis.
What do you think wrong with Rami? You got Alzheimer's or you got amnesia? He can't remember nothing he said. Like
Rami.
Yesterday they crossed him up. That's
that's why he has to always say, I agree with whatever I said, whatever it was.
Whatever I said last 5 minutes.
Why are you always lying like that?
Yeah.
Hello, I lied.
That's hilarious. Okay.
I was lying.
Makes him laugh. Makes him laugh, though. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I have a sore back.
Yeah.
I'm really,
no, not going to get down on
the wall. Yeah.
Oh, I have an update to yesterday's story about the lungs found on the sidewalk in
South Central Los Angeles. Yes, thank you, Chris.
Apparently, they belong to an animal, not a human being.
Oh, thank God.
Then well, that's okay.
Woo,
then. What?
All right.
Yeah.
Huh?
What sort of animal?
They're trying to determine what kind of animal it was.
God.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a werewolf.
From
they're,
London?
They're
werewolves in London.
All right.
Bad castle.
50 minutes.
Why are you talking this way? I thought you wanted to.
I could help you with that hump. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Perhaps I could help you with that hump. What hump?
Okay. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the absolute very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. All right. So I was reading more on this Jeff Greenfield piece, because you know me, I tend to be a little happy-clappy.
Yep.
I just, because it would be like the healthcare version of replacing the Folgers crystals. The Tea Party would lose their if they strike down the healthcare and then we get single payer.
Yeah.
We will talk to legal analyst Ian Milheiser about this after the top of the hour. But, you know, as Alan Grayson, our guest yesterday, and others have said, first of all, they keep bitching about there's too many pages in the bill. Anybody to look at how many pages it is. I mean,
it's your job to read stuff.
In fact, single payer is what he's trying to be the simplest law in the world to enact. This is what Alan Grayson proposed.
On a
all
napkin.
Congress would need to do is take the Medicare law, strike out the words over 45.
Yep.
Done.
Yeah.
I would, you know what? I'd give him my highlighter and a little, or like, you know, a blackout pen, something. Just
a highlighter, what kind of highlighter?
No, you Medicare
wanna,
for all.
Yeah.
You would want to highlight everything and then.
Right.
You just want to.
Except the part that says over 65.
Right. Or cross out that part and not highlight the rest of it.
There you go. The television show is pesky. I've been accused of over-highlighting.
Well,
people can
kind of persnickety our audience.
If you highlight the entire article.
I didn't highlight. Is this okay? Is this an appropriate amount?
That is appropriate. Yes.
All right. Anyway, he's saying that would be, why is that constitutional? Well, the same reason Medicare and Social Security are the taxing power. And so this is what's ironic. I mean, it really is. So why is Obama's health care plan, he says, with a far more modest use of government power in serious jeopardy? Because the key element in the plan, the mandate to purchase health insurance or pay a penalty, was not based on taxing power, but on Congress's power under Article 1 to, interstate commerce clause. And that power, while broad, has its limits, even if those limits are murky. So that's what they're deciding right now. But, just interesting stuff. He says, as a policy matter, it's clear that a mandate is much more modest extension of government power than single payer. The citizen would choose which insurance to buy. In fact, under the law, citizen could choose not to buy any insurance and pay the penalty.
Mm-hmm.
The whole premise of a mandate is to spread risk as widely as possible, as Mitt Romney used to note when he was defending the Massachusetts plan. He designed the mandate to prevent free riders from benefiting from treatment once they're sick or injured. That's why the genesis of the idea came from Heritage Foundation, everybody.
Wow.
The conservative. Klarn. Okay, Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Steph.
Hello.
Hi.
This morning, I've been listening to these crazies talking about how they can appeal Obamacare because the insurance companies are picking up some of the slack. But let me tell you about the insurance companies. I'm on disability, and my insurance company went up on my premiums, and so I called to cancel because I just can't afford them anymore. And the guy on the other end told me, oh, yes, you can. I said, no, I can't. He said, oh, yes, you can, because you all just got a raise, the first raise in 2 years. And so I said, but that raise I got, you took that raise plus $10 extra, so I'm actually $10 shorter because of you.
Hmm.
So I went to Medicare. I just went straight to Medicare. And I don't have any problems. I can go anywhere with my insurance because my husband's insurance dropped him when he gone dialysis after a year because he reached his limit. They just dropped him in the middle and said they won't do his dialysis anymore. He went to Medicare, and they're taking care of him. No problems, no paperwork. So I just don't understand these Republicans. Why do they feel like they can trust the insurance companies? I don't trust them no more than a rattlesnake with a shiny button on his tail.
Stephanie, that's awesome. Me neither. All right, well... Rattlesnake with a shiny button on it. Look, we're going to do all these things. You don't need to compel us to. Look at the shiny button on my tail. Zap! Okay.
Wow.
Is that an Illinois expression? I have not heard that.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, I haven't either.
Okay, let's go to Greg in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Greg.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah. You guys are coming up in the next segment, I guess, with Jeff Greenfield, where you're going to talk about Eric Holder and whatnot.
We're having Ian Millhiser.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I just find it coincidental that with this panel that Issa has going on, where he wants him to step down, all of the Republicans on that panel, I think it's quite funny that it's coincidental that they ask him to step down when the Justice Department is challenging Governor Scott in Florida about the purging of voters. So
yeah, they need they need a less pesky attorney general, apparently.
Yeah.
Wanted to say, you guys keep doing what you're doing. I've made my wife into a convert. She loves you guys. She stayed home one morning.
Aww.
We're in the process of moving, and she stayed home. I had to watch you guys, and now she's a big convert. This is a woman whose father makes Archie Bunker look like a reasonable guy.
Wow. Sweet. Well, she obviously has exquisite taste.
Well, she listens to you guys.
Yes, in men and in broadcasting.
Entirely. But thank you for doing what you guys do. So.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. All right, there he goes. Greg and his awesome wife.
Yeah.
Whom we've converted.
You know, it's funny that Issa is pulling Eric Holder up in front of his panel when Fast and Furious began under the Bush administration and Michael Mukasey.
Right.
But Issa hasn't brought anybody from the Bush administration up.
They're not responsible.
It's only people in the Obama administration. So it is completely political.
Really? I'm sure it's completely unconnected to this headline, DOJ sues Florida over voter purge. Huh. That probably isn't. Yeah.
Hmm.
The Justice Department, as we all know, made good on its promise to sue Florida over their controversial voter list purge, filing a civil suit against the state in federal court. We'll talk to Ian about all of this. But DOJ alleged Florida is not in compliance with the National Voter Registration Act, which all of their supervisors, Republican and Democratic, agree with at this point.
Where does a former car thief get off grilling Eric Holder?
Oh, you referred to Daryl Issa?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, alleged car thief and
not alleged car thief.
Arsonist and insurance defrauder.
That's
I'm not sure if that is alleged.
Not about the arsonist part, but the
steroid abuser. That's alleged.
Okay,
but I'm just saying something suspiciously gone on fire after he bought insurance.
Just saying.
Just saying.
A shame if something was to happen to
something.
Your car.
It was a shame and it did happen, and he collected the fire insurance money. Okay,
what?
All right. Bob in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Bob.
Wow, thanks. Good morning. Hey, I'm wondering if there is a legal basis, and I know you're not a lawyer, but, what are you going to do?
I'll play one on the radio. Go ahead.
The signers of the Grover Norquist pledge.
Yes.
Isn't there some sort of action that can be taken as to charge them with a violation of their oath of office?
Yeah. Well, we've said from day one, Bob, it smells treasony to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not what you sign a pledge to.
I mean, I would expect some Democratic prosecutor with a spine to actually take that one on, if it's an actionable thing.
Well, right. You're taking a pledge to an individual as opposed to the Constitution and an individual named
Grover.
Take
a pledge to Benedict Arnold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take a pledge to a doughy pant load named Grover.
And Grover.
Yeah.
And the Muppet is ashamed of being associated with him.
Did the Tea Party ever look? Does the Tea Bagger ever look in the mirror and just go, "I signed a pledge"?
That guy?
That?
What? Huh?
This guy named
How
Grover?
High was I?
What am I, eight? What is this? Is this a blood oath?
What did I pledge?
58 minutes after the hour. Back with legal analyst Ian Millhiser next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Puppy, don't eat the other puppy's face.
Yeah.
Someone posed their puppies like a naked face-eating zombie.
Yeah, I posted it up on your Facebook page.
No, puppy, don't do it.
Yes, no Facebook page.
No Facebook.
Yeah. No puppy, don't eat the face.
All right, Stephanie.
Not the face. Not the face.
Speaking of which, Tom and Elgin sent me pictures of his two puppies.
Aw.
Look. It's another unsolicited testimonial. Hi, dear Steph. Want to introduce you to the newest recipient of the wonders of Cedarside. Oh, fabulous. Opal, who's a pretty girl.
Oh.
Our lab beagle mix. There she is.
Uh-huh.
She's a rescue we got through Mobile Mutts. God boy for rescuing. It's an organization that transports dogs from shelters down south and brings them to fosters and larger facilities to make their lives better. We volunteer to take dogs overnight so they can relax from the drives. Opal entered our house and our hearts, so we decided to adopt her. Opal and Brandy love each other and Cedarside.
Aww.
Good dogs! There they are. Puppy, stop and get that puppy's face out of your mouth. Okay. All right, we have a lot of stuff going on in the legal world, and no one we like to talk to better than Ian Millhiser, policy analyst for the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
That's right.
Hello, good morning, Ian.
It's great to be back. Thank you so much.
And thanks for coming back. Lots of stuff to talk about. Let's start with Eric Holder, who is a Politico piece. The headline, of course, says it all. Eric Holder under siege. He's used to being treated like a punching bag, but this is atop the normal pummeling, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, Daryl Issa has decided that he weighs the same amount as a duck and therefore needs to be burnt at the stake.
Yeah.
This is, John Cornyn yesterday. This is
There has been zero accountability at the Department of Justice. You won't appoint a special prosecutor in the face of a potential conflict of interest. You won't tell the truth about what you know and when you knew it on Fast and Furious. You won't cooperate with a legitimate congressional investigation.
All right, so let's, and then he went right to his face. We have this one, John Cornyn, yesterday.
You violated the public trust, in my view, and by failing and refusing to perform the duties of your office. You leave me no alternative but to join those that call upon you to resign your office.
Wow. You know, where do we start here, Eric? Ian. I'm looking at my Eric Holder soundbite. Ian, I mean, where do we even start? Fast and Furious, of course, started under the Bush administration, correct?
That's right. I mean, it's really important to understand what is going on with this. You know, it's a genuine scandal, but it's not a political scandal.
Right.
So in 2006, when Barack Obama was not president and when Eric Holder was not attorney general, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF, launched a really idiotic series of operations. They were stupid. You know, the idea was that you sell a bunch of guns to arms dealers and somehow you can track these guns to track down Mexican drug lords. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. One of these guns was used to kill a federal agent. And under Eric Holder, the people responsible for these stupid operations have lost their jobs or been demoted, including the former head of ATF and a former U.S. attorney. Daryl Issa, the House Oversight Chair, has decided to use this incident to try to embarrass Holder, you know, to try to keep trying to dig up evidence showing that, trying to show that he's somehow responsible for it. And since he hasn't found any, he's now resorted to subpoenas that are basically unlawful subpoenas that the Justice Department doesn't have to comply with. And that's the basis for this call for his resignation, that he hasn't complied with these unlawful subpoenas.
Wow. Well, and here was his response yesterday, Eric Holder talking to Senator Cornyn.
With all due respect, Senator, there's so much that's factually wrong with the premises that you started your statement with, it's almost breathtaking. I don't have any intention of resigning.
Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah.
In other words, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, by the way, you know, Daryl Issa, you mentioned this time. I saw this when he was on with Sean Hannity. I mean, it's based on some bizarre conspiracy theory. He claimed Obama made a crisis, quote-unquote, when they continued the Bush-era operation because they wanted to use this crisis to somehow take away or limit people's Second Amendment rights.
What?
Huh?
First of all, Mexico?
I mean...
Huh?
Go ahead, Ian. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's really bizarre. This idea, it originates from this former militia man, this guy who's called for violence against the U.S. government before, mm-hmm. named Mike Vanderbaugh. He wrote a blog post a while back where he had this ridiculous conspiracy theory claiming that the Obama administration released these guns so that these guns would then be used to shoot Americans, so that Americans would then turn against the Second Amendment and, like, Obama could steal our precious bodily fluid. Or
wow.
something. It's this ridiculous conspiracy theory. And, you know, you have committee chairs, you have multiple members of Congress who are now touting this conspiracy theory as if it were true.
It's incredibly obvious, isn't it, Mendrick?
Yeah. And meanwhile, you know, let's talk about the leaks. I mean, obviously the president made the point. Anybody that even wrote these pieces said it didn't come from the White House. And, you know, here they are now trying to, you know, score political points on this as well, you know, and tie it in somehow with Eric Holder, right?
Yeah, and what's bizarre about it is a lot of the people who are trying to pin this on Holder are actually behind the curve. So, you know, but several Republican senators called for Holder to appoint a special prosecutor after Holder had already appointed a prosecutor to investigate what happened. Now, he didn't appoint an independent prosecutor, but he appointed a, you know, solid, you know, member of the Justice Department to look into this and find out what the heck happened, who leaked this, whether a crime has been committed. So, you know, what you see here is you see a pattern of, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of people who are tens of thousands of people who work for the Justice Department. Any agency that has tens of thousands of people, some of them are going to screw up sometimes. And in a functioning organization, there has to be a way to manage those screw-ups internally, mm-hmm. yep. without people trying to make political hay about it, or the organization won't work.
Right. Well, and Eric Holder made that point yesterday.
The desire here is not for an accommodation, but for a political point-making.
Yep.
Well, which I think just couldn't be clearer. I mean, and at least they're consistent, and I remember them being just as concerned about classified leaks when Valerie Plame's name got leaked, as you
yeah.
recall.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I really think what's going on here is Democrats took out Alberto Gonzalez under George W.
Oh.
Bush because Alberto Gonzalez actually did do a terrible job and mm-hmm. actually did politicize the department.
Yeah.
And so now they think, well, if Democrats can take out our guy, we Republicans should be able to take out their guy.
Well,
something that happened during the Bush administration.
Yeah, and I think another theory that makes even more sense is, you know, is this not coincidental with the Department of Justice, you know, suing Florida over this egregious voter purge?
Mm.
Yeah, no, I mean, and what's shocking about that voter purge, not just the fact that it happened, but, you know, I have read the statute that DOJ is suing under. It says there cannot be a voter purge within 90 days,
Yeah, it's a clear violation, what you just said, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it could not be clearer that what Rick Scott is doing is illegal. And yet Rick Scott's going to go ahead and defy the law because we've entered this weird political moment where, you know, it's better for Rick Scott to defy the law and then send out a fundraising letter saying that he's going after the big Obama Holder machine than it is for him to, you know, actually behave lawfully.
Oh, not only is he going to defy the law, and he said yesterday the debate's over. He declared the debate about his state's efforts to purge thousands of voters over because 50 non-citizens they found were proof that the process needs to go forward. I mean, this is really incredible.
Yeah, and what he's talked about, I mean, let's assume that he actually did find 50 non-citizens, which is itself debatable. What he's doing is he is purging potentially hundreds of thousands
right.
of people. You know, one list was tens of thousands of names. That includes, you know, two World War II veterans that
uh-huh.
we've already identified.
Yep.
And in this country, the rule is the vote, the right to vote is sacred, and you cannot do anything that imposes, you can't have these, strike at legitimate voters in order to spite other people.
Ian, this is what, it's funny the way you just put it, sacred right. And he said, if there's credible evidence someone registered to vote that is not, they're sent a letter. They've got 30 days to respond. If they don't respond, then the notice is filed in the paper. If they don't respond, they're taken off the rolls. Well, the burden's not supposed to be on you. I mean, what if you've moved, or you're not there, or you're on vacation, or you you think it's junk mail or something? I mean, Christine Roman said this yesterday to him. Critics say this is discriminatory and one big political move to eliminate potential Democratic voters. He said, absolutely not. This is bipartisan. Oh, that's funny, because how come it just happens to purge, Democratic voters? Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, he's right about one thing. This is a bipartisan effort, but the bipartisanship is actually against Rick Scott. You know, there are, I believe, 67 elected election supervisors in the state of Florida. 30 of them are Republicans, and I give credit to all 30 of those Republican election supervisors who have said, look, we are not purging people using this unreliable data.
Yeah.
So there is bipartisanship here. It's bipartisanship against Rick Scott.
Right, and thank God, and his approval rating, I think, plummeted to about 30% or so in the wake of this. So, thank God there's some people that, care about doing the right thing, right?
No, it's exactly right. And I mean, it's because this is so egregious. And, and I think it's also because of the history here. I mean, bear in mind, we now know that in 2000, 7,000 people by one study were removed from the Florida voter rolls who were legitimate eligible voters.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, George Bush is, well, at least if you believe Bush v. Gore. Yeah.
Says on Al Gore's network, this is breaking news to us. Thank you, Ian.
Right, yeah. George Bush's margin of victory in 2000 was about 500 votes plus one Supreme Court justice.
Right.
Mm.
So,
yep.
If you hadn't had those 7,000 people purged, there's a good chance that former president-elect Al Gore would have actually made it into the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Ian, quickly before you go, so much going on. We wish we could keep you all morning. But, we were just talking to a news superstar, action hero, healthcare advocate, Jackie Schechner. And the Supreme Court ruling, obviously, on affordable care is coming soon. You've seen these insurance companies have suddenly said, oh, no, we're going to do the right thing now, no matter what happens. And some people are saying this is they're trying to signal the Supreme Court, we don't need any more, regulations. They're trying to give, cover to Republicans in Congress. What's your take on that and what's going to happen at the Supreme Court?
I am nervous about the Supreme Court, and I'm nervous not just because, the Supreme Court may prevent things from getting better, because the Affordable Care Act makes things a whole lot better for a whole lot of Americans. They may make things much, much worse. There are things that the Supreme Court could do that would make Medicare shut down for 3 months while people are cleaning up the fallout. There are things the Supreme Court could do that could cause tens of millions of people who currently have Medicaid benefits to lose them overnight. So, the stakes are really, really high here, and a lot of people's lives could get drastically worse if the Supreme Court doesn't know what it's doing.
So if that happens, can we just cross out the over 65 after Medicare and be done with it and have Medicare for all?
I am a supporter of a single payer system. If we can pass that bill, I am all for it. But I'm a big believer in the rule that it's more important to comfort the afflicted than it is to afflict the comfortable.
Yeah.
And so I support the Affordable Care Act because you've got 33 million lives that depend on it every year, and that's enough for me.
Yep, Ian, great stuff this morning. A lot to cover, and you were fabulous at all of it. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you.
There he goes, Ian Millhiser, legal analyst. Exactly. There's me in my happy clappy place again.
Yeah.
They strike it down, we get single payer, and then marriage equality gets voted in and teabagger heads.
And then you get a pony
across the country.
But what they're doing to Eric Holder is absolutely inexcusable.
Yeah.
And it'll fail.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested, John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Y'all want this party started, right? started quickly.
I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm on the fence about starting the party quickly.
Come on.
Come on.
This sort of thing has to be done
ease
judiciously.
Into it. Into it cautiously.
You don't ease into parties. You jump right in.
Dive in.
Quickly.
Dive right in.
Right?
Don't want to
Don't
spawn.
Think. Jump in.
25 minutes
Is
after
there
the
water
hour.
In the pool?
Don't think about it.
Go. Go. Do. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Kirsten in Arizona. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Kirsten.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, woo-hoo, Team Barber, huh?
Woo-hoo!
Yay, Barber!
Yay for Ron Barber. Just won Gabrielle Gifford's old seat in Arizona. Wow, Kirsten, is that, you know, Arizona obviously getting a reputation is very extreme, very teabaggy. This is a big thing today in Arizona.
You know, this was a big screw you, Jesse Kelly. You tried it twice, you lost it twice. Now go sit down in the corner and be quiet. And you know what bothers me? I was really scared about this election because I share an office building with Gabby Giffords in Sierra Vista. And if Jesse Kelly had won, when my lease runs up in 2 months, I was going to have to move. And I was unhappy because I have a medical practice and my patients were going to be ticked off.
So I guess you can say Barber gave Jesse Kelly a haircut.
No!
See what I did there?
Now, Kirsten, I mean, I have to say, in my sense of that race is just that that was bipartisan in the sense that he's just a jerk.
Yeah.
He's been saying jerky things for a long time, you know?
Oh, he's creepy. Matter of fact, my whole staff and I were talking about it, and we kind of had a little powwow, and I said, okay, now everybody, I paid everybody yesterday to go vote. I said, just get out, go vote. I don't care who you vote for, just get out of the office and go do it. And they all came back, and they said, well, I hope that this isn't inappropriate, but Jesse Kelly's really creepy. And I said, he is. He really is. He's scary, and he's just yucky. And that's why I was seriously just going to have to move. And my husband thought I was crazy. I said, no, I'm not kidding.
Kirsten, that fits on a bumper sticker. It's probably why Ron Barber won. Jesse Kelly, he's scary and ucky. All right. Well, good job, Kirsten. Good job in Arizona. Woohoo! Hey, speaking of teabaggy jerks, you know Joe Walsh? Not that one.
Not that one.
This is actually funny. So what? Because I speaking of, like, jerky, teabaggy opponents that, you know, have really been just jerks to their female opponents. Because we had a quote about what he said about Gabrielle Giffords yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy Duckworth, of course, who left some of her limbs on the battlefield for her country, is running against that douche nozzle, Joe Walsh, in Democratic congressional candidate Tammy Duckworth. He's facing Tea Partier Joe Walsh in Illinois. Mm-hmm. Guess who she recruited, Jim, to do a fundraiser?
Joe Walsh, the rock star?
The real one.
Yeah.
Joe Walsh, the real one. They announced rock guitarist Joe
Ringo's
Walsh
brother-in-law.
Of the Eagles will be headlining a concert event for Duckworth on July 1st. The title of the event, a private concert and evening with the real Joe Walsh.
Love it.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Take back that name. Take back Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
He was tired of his name being all douche nozzled.
Joe has apparently a separate house for all his guitars. People just keep sending him guitars.
Oh.
So he's got...
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Go Tammy Duckworth. She's awesome. And that is good news. We'll have to check into some of the other races, Chris. You were saying that not just...
A lot of the races
Jesse
around the...
Jesse Kelly went down yesterday, but some other teabaggies.
Yeah, a lot of the races around the country were just, Republican primaries. But the teabag... were defeated by more normal Republicans.
You know
yesterday.
What I attribute it to? The first interracial three-way teabagging demonstration
yes.
in Boston with Aisha Tyler, John Fugas hanging on it. Yeah. All right, 29
That's
minutes
very prescient.
After the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Think of the fun you'll have taking
Stephanie Miller
on dates.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Queen Bee in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Queen Bee.
Hi, y'all. I have some news.
What?
I was watching one of those liberal shows that I absolutely love, and someone has named the Romney Bus Tour.
What is it?
Well, it's the Etch-A-Sketch Express. Isn't
Woo!
That great?
Yeah!
Yay! So, John Fugel saying, it's your birthday. Oh, he gave us that Etch-A-Sketch moment.
I
God
know.
Bless his sexy liberal arse. Okay, Ken in Pennsylvania says, Eric Holder's a bad man.
Mm.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah, I see he's out doing his job disseminating false information.
About what?
Fast and Furious.
Oh, you mean the George Bush program?
Wide receiver was started under the Bush administration, and it was stopped under Bush due to its lack of effectiveness. Fast and Furious, a separate operation, which Eric Holder testified was started under the Obama administration.
No, it was started under the Bush administration.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
the umbrella program was started under the Bush administration,
it's in
Ken.
Testimony. It's in testimony.
The umbrella program was started under the Bush administration. Why isn't Daryl Issa? Why isn't Daryl Issa calling up Mukasey under why?
Wide receiver was done in conjunction with the Mexican government. Fast and Furious was done without the knowledge of the Mexican government.
Mm-hmm.
And
so do you agree with what Daryl Issa told Sean Hannity that obviously the Obama administration did this so that they could take away our guns ultimately, right? They wanted this to be...
They wanted to institute the assault gun
All right.
ban.
All right.
If you remember, at the beginning of their administration, they came out with a false claim that a lot of these guns in Mexico were coming from the United States. Well, they had to back that up.
Yes. All right. Okay.
Yeah. They're...
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Yeah. See, they're just a litmus test.
Yeah.
So you agree
mm-hmm.
with his bizarre conspiracy theory? He's coming to get your guns!
Okay. And none of the guns in Mexico came from the United States. That's crazy. Why would they come here to get guns? Because it's so difficult to buy them here. What the?
Yes, he wanted this to go badly. Yeah. He wanted to keep this stupid program going, started under George Bush. So you see, then he could just justify taking away
all your guns,
which
right.
is what he has always campaigned on.
Clearly.
The president, as you know, has always said he wants to take away all of our guns.
You know, him being a constitutional scholar and all of that, he ignores the Second Amendment
Kenyan
at all.
Kenyan Muslim
sure.
Nazi socialist liberal commies who do that.
Hello, Dana in Maryland.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I think somebody maybe should take his guns. You know, talk about a little creepy.
Yeah.
I wanted to share a little information. My husband's an executive chef, and Obama was at his hotel yesterday for a luncheon, and my husband cooked for him, which I think is very cool. So I wanted to tell you guys, he didn't get to meet him, but he met the Secret Service guys, and they chatted, and it was pretty cool. So
awesome.
Wanted to share, and also get your sexy liberal tush to D.C.
Oh, D.C.
I mean, you would sell so many tickets. Why don't you guys come out here?
I'd love to take that under advisement.
We would love it.
All right. Thank you, honey.
Thanks for doing a great job.
All right.
Thanks for being out there every day, and we
All
love
right.
you.
Thank you, honey. Love you, too. Yay. Oh, speaking of sexy liberal, looky here. We got a love letter.
Oh,
I think we posted this link. This is amazing. Mama, this is from Anastasia in San Diego. Mama, while I'm not a stalker of the same high caliber as some of your callers, I attended the last Sexy Liberals shows in L.A. Shows, meaning she went to Friday and Saturday.
Wow.
I have tickets for the upcoming L.A. show. Got tickets to the Philly show for my sister and brother-in-law for Christmas. Can't wait to see you in L.A. next month. Woot. Living in San Diego, I'm surrounded by irritating teabaggers, ditto heads, right-wing talker, Roger Hedgehog. Cue Chris.
Cock!
Excuse me?
Roger Hedgehog.
Pardon me.
You keep getting that wrong.
Get that wrong. Mm-hmm. To inoculate myself, last August, I started a meetup group in your honor so I could meet other sexy liberals who share my appreciation for the Stephanie Miller Show, progressive politics, and, of course, fart jokes. Thank you. We're now 87 strong and counting. I just scheduled our next meetup for Sunday, July 8th.
Wow.
My goal is to have 1 million members, said in Austin Powers' voice. Oh, 1 million members. So by then, if you can give us a shout-out, that'd be swell. Here's the link to our group. Check us out. Did we put that up?
On your Facebook page.
Okay, meetup.com/San Diego Sexy Liberals. Check us out. See you at the Pantages in July. And thanks for making our world a much happier place. Anastasia, who also happens to be hot, Jim.
Oh, I'm tired.
Hmm? There are a lot of sexy liberals in San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying. All right. But you can go, you know, if you're in the San Diego area and want to go to their meetup, check it out. All right. Let's go to Lynn in Houston. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi. Boy, Ian Millhiser was sure good.
Yes, he sure is.
Why doesn't Eric Holder just happily say, oh, don't throw me in that briar patch, and I appoint Elliot Spitzer as my special prosecutor?
Yeah, that's funny. All right. The president was out on the campaign trail. Do you see this whole thing, by the way? Good God. So, the headline is Gingrich. Yes, Romney's policies will lead to fewer teachers. The second headline, Romney versus Core, says it's completely absurd to say he doesn't want to hire more teachers.
Wow.
Oh my
God. Wow. Get it together, people. I'm actually feeling sorry for the Republican Party.
Really? What is this all about? Oh, by the way, wasn't Newt Gingrich married to a teacher?
Frankly.
That was his plan.
That was one of his
marital plans.
I fired that teacher.
With less teachers.
Frankly. Less teachers, fewer teachers in my
family. Actually, it was his teacher, which is kind of creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy.
Yeah.
And also, Newt Gingrich was a teacher. He was a college professor,
frankly.
Yeah.
I thought he was a mortgage historian.
Yeah.
Paleontologist.
I wouldn't mind less of Newt Gingrich. I mean, if we're going to get rid of teachers, why don't we get rid of him?
Yeah, the Romney camp tripling down on this claim the nation needs fewer public employees like teachers, firefighters, police officers to help rebound the economy. Newt Gingrich defended Romney's resistance to hire more firemen, more policemen, more teachers, admitted that the governor's policy would lead to less teachers in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yay,
fewer teachers.
For dumber kids. Fewer,
yeah,
excuse me.
Sure.
See?
That's
why
that's what happens when there are few teachers.
Yeah.
You don't
see
know
what
the difference
I did there?
Less and fewer. There's less applesauce, but fewer apples.
Right.
When I hear Governor Romney say his 25...
No, I need Newt Gingrich cut five. Here he is talking about teachers.
I think we have to come to grips with how big the challenge is. And does that mean there will be fewer teachers?
Frankly?
The honest answer is yes.
Yes, frankly, yeah.
Does it mean that
dumber kids?
You're not going to get quite the same pension plan people have been getting? The honest answer is yes. Now,
frankly.
President Obama may say, well, we can borrow our way out of that decision. I don't think the American people agree with him.
I don't think the American people want more teachers, frankly. Frankly, they prefer being stupid, so they buy my line of BS.
Music. Let me do an illustrative skit about how that would be. Jim, would you like to be the voice guy here on the Stephanie Miller Show?
Yes.
Why, here is a penny.
All right.
I don't have...
Goodbye, Ms. Miller.
I don't have any more money now.
Oh, looky, I've got an appointment somewhere else.
Stay with the skit. Well, gladly... give you the price of a hamburger tomorrow and this big fat pension. So if you will take a penny today
to
do this
today.
Job, and you say yes.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Jim Ward. Cut to...
Oops, your pension's gone.
Do we have a... Let's just say 5 years from now, something.
There we go. Heart glissando, that'll do.
5 years from now. Jim, thank you for coming in my office.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I need a door sound effect, something. Jim, why, thank you for coming to sit. Remember that big fat pension I said that I would give you when I paid you a penny.
I have it in my calendar when that pension would kick in.
These last 5 years, I've paid you a penny a year, and I appreciate your hard work. However, I spent that big fat pension on box wine. Goodbye, sir. Good day.
Right.
And good day, sir.
Then. Okay.
That doesn't seem all that fair.
We just improv that little skit.
But this contract you signed clearly indicates that you're legally bound.
Give me that so I can wipe my ass. There you go. Little
Ms. Miller, that doesn't seem quite fair.
A little improv skit by the Stephanie Miller players, all of whom are paid a penny. So that I can use the rest of their salary to drink box wine.
It seemed you had Jim do a lot of hard work for absolutely nothing when you promised him a big pension.
Yes, well.
And I also had him pay into that pension so that I could drink it all. What a dummy!
Well, you'll be hearing from my theoretical lawyer.
That I can't afford because you only paid me a penny a year. All right. But that was my money. What? I paid into the fund that you said. That,
I was
now
duped.
Glug, 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 glug.
And now Stephanie's going to have to hire child janitors.
Perfect.
Okay. Arnold in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Arnold. Hi, Arnold.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning, Steph.
If Eric Holder would do his job and start sending these people who robbed these Wall Street bankers who were crooks, the puppet masters of the Republicans, those Republican senators were fast and furious to get at Eric Holder's face. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. No further questions.
Oh,
all right.
Well then.
Oh, and here is Romney, which is hilarious. So right after Newt Gingrich said, well, yeah, frankly, that means less teachers. So this was on Fox News. Romney, it's so rare for him, he contradicted his own remarks, saying the Obama campaign was making a very strange accusation when it claimed he doesn't want to hire more teachers. What?
That's a very strange accusation. Of course, teachers and firemen and policemen are hired at the local level and also by states. The federal government doesn't pay for teachers, firefighters, or policemen. Obviously, that's completely absurd. He's got a new idea, though, and that is to have another stimulus and to have the federal government send money to try and bail out cities and states. Mm-hmm. It didn't work the first time. It certainly wouldn't work the second time.
He
doesn't seem to understand that there are a lot of federal programs that encourage and fund the hiring of teachers, cops, and firefighters.
Yeah. Yes.
Has he forgotten about that?
No. But all I know is that you're the smartest boy in class, so I'm going to take Jim's penny and give it to you so that you have 2 pennies.
Wow!
45 minutes after the
hour. I can buy 2 penny candies!
45 minutes after the hour.
Maybe in 1957.
Yeah! I can buy 2 squirrel nut zippers! Hooray!
Whee! And a sweet tart. Yeah. Okay, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's her political party, and she'll cry if she wants to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Let me be.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. Governor Jesse Ventura coming up next hour.
Guess who?
What?
Hmm? What? Guess who?
Oh,
oh yes.
Guess who?
Band.
The guess who.
Who
are they?
Just,
who?
Jesse Ventura.
Are they who?
What? Who? I'm confused.
They're the who? No. Guess who?
All right.
I thought they did. Who's on first?
I don't know. What? 1-800.
I don't know who's on third.
Right.
No. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Oh, that's a short stop.
All right. Dennis in South Carolina. We need to save us, Dennis. Hello, Dennis. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Well, I'm a conservative, so I don't know if you want me to save you or not.
Yes, but you're the best we've got. I love you.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Right.
The reason I called in was the president continues to blame George Bush for these deficits and debts. And I want to take just a minute. I don't want to be interrupted if you don't mind.
Oh, well then.
If the clown shoes fit, wear them.
Okay. All right. George Bush's budget deficit, like in the last 2 years, 06, 07, was $450 billion.
Because he didn't put the wars on the books.
Yeah.
Okay. The $1.2 trillion deficit that Obama always rails on that he inherited,
yes,
that included the $800 billion TARP that he supported and he voted for.
Yes.
He can't complain
and
about
created
that
jobs.
Created jobs, yes, which the wars
okay,
did not.
Okay, what I'm saying is that's a talking point. He always says, I inherited
Dennis, we can do the math and then we can disagree on policy. But it is a fact that last year more jobs were created in the private sector of our country's economy than all 8 years of President Bush. That was also true in 2010. Okay, the deficit, as we said, he didn't put, George Bush didn't put both wars on the books,
right,
Dennis.
Okay. When you put those wars on the books, that's going to add a lot to the deficit.
Obviously, that immediately raises the deficit.
Yes.
Both wars were only, well, I would say only because it's a lot of money, were $1 trillion. Okay, he's spending $1.2 trillion per year. Even if you put those on the book, he's still going over. And the CBO...
Okay, not all spending, Dennis, is the same. The stimulus has created jobs.
Yep.
We can argue about how many, but how did the president create more private sector jobs last year than George Bush did in all 8 years? How did that happen?
Well, when you're at full employment for like 6 out of 8 years, there's not that many jobs to create at 4.5%.
The
Bush administration was losing 750,000 jobs a month when Obama took office.
Yes. Okay.
Obama turned that around
fairly quickly.
Uh-huh.
Why, looky here. Romney bashes stimulus, then fundraises at the home of a stimulus recipient.
Huh.
Ah! He spent the morning in Florida trashing the stimulus, saying Obama has borrowed almost $1 trillion. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Just hours after the speech, Romney boarded a plane to Tennessee to fundraise with the beneficiary of Obama's stimulus funds.
God.
He will spend Tuesday night at a $10,000 a head fundraiser at the house of Orrin Ingram, chairman of the Ingram Barge Company, which received $130,000 in federal stimulus money.
Huh.
That's a private company, not
Seems
a government,
right.
government entity there, just in case you were wondering.
Interesting.
I know what you're wondering. Any relation to Laura Ingram? And I know word on that. I don't think so.
To the right. More of the right.
Maybe.
Bullet.
My dad owns a barge company. Mike in Kent, Ohio. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Stephen, guys? Hey, nobody's mentioned that it's a possibility that the Republicans leaked all this information. I mean, go back and think about what, you know, they've been doing ever since they've killed Bin Laden. They've been on him for talking about it, and all of a sudden this pops up. We don't know if the Republicans didn't leak this.
Mike, again, the writers of the pieces themselves said it did not come from the White House. I mean, you know, anyway, go ahead.
Well, another thing, like Bill Press, you know, him mentioning the national anthem, and right away Fox News gets on him. It says he's un-American, he's not patriot. Well, let's talk about Fox News. They backed people that didn't want to go to Vietnam. One of them was George Bush, Cheney,
yeah,
and now
right.
you got another one, Romney.
Let me tell you something about that scamp Bill Press. I bet he did that on purpose. Just to drive the right wing crazy, because he's good at that.
Yes, he is.
He just set up a dumb song. It's hard to sing, which it is hard to sing.
It's actually right in my range, it turns out.
Yeah, well, you're a voice deity. John in Milwaukee. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I would just like to make the comment to these politicians that want to take everyone's pension away. They never mention the one that they get.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I would trade them any day, my Social Security, for the pension that they get.
Yeah, funny that, how they completely forget about their big old government pension and government health care,
mm-hmm.
don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Marlene in Gary, Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marlene.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say quickly, do it ever occur to anyone, it's like the Republicans line up and Norquist give them the word of the day, like communists, like socialists, like, you know, it's like they all follow the same thing. You can,
yep.
every time they get up on the floor and say a speech, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, this socialist government. And then Fox News would oh,
there it
socialist
is.
Government.
Yep. Well, Marlene, we're going to do Right Wing World after the top of the hour, and you see if you can listen. That's what happens. You go, oh, the facts went out, because it's
yep.
like the same word shows up on every Fox show, on every
Absolutely.
Right Wing radio show. Yeah, and by the way, President Obama, he said something like this on when I saw him live here in Hollywood last week. He said Mitt Romney's campaign message is too simplistic, saying it'll fit on a tweet and have some characters to spare. He said that because folks are still hurting right now, the other side feels it's enough for them to just sit back and say things aren't as good as they should be. It's Obama's fault. It's Obama's fault, the president.
When I hear Governor Romney say his 25 years in the private sector gives him a special understanding of how the economy works, my question is, why are you running with the same bad ideas that brought our economy to the brink of disaster?
Good one. Mittens. And Mittens, back to you. Mitt Romney yesterday.
People are having hard times in this country,
oh,
and the
oh,
president
yes.
needs to go out and talk to people, not just do fundraisers.
Yeah.
Go out and talk to people in the country and find out what's
that's
happening.
That's what
you
do.
What?
That's all
said?
You're doing.
You talk to people at fundraisers.
He said at a fundraiser. What?
God. You mother...
He needs to disarm immediately. He needs to stop adding fundraisers. That's just... The president needs to get more in touch with real people like me. I mean, that's what I'm doing all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're real people with lots of money.
Sure.
Oh,
rubbing
my God.
Elbows with the folks. That's me. I love when he calls the
president
out of touch.
Corporations are people, my friends. Yeah.
It's just rich. All right. So more to come on all of that. We have Governor Jesse Ventura coming up about his new book, Democrips and Republic.
It's in the blood.
Yeah, I get it.
Yes.
No more gangs in government.
Yes. He's all advocating right. for a no-party system.
Sure. All right. We love him anyway.
Yes, we do.
We're back with that in Right Wing World. So we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Governor Jesse Ventura coming up this hour. 1-800-STEP-12. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice DD Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like many, many people did about the great Pashmina incident of 2012. That's now called the unfortunate picture of me with Cher at the Obama fundraiser. I somehow, my wrinkled green Pashmina, just, it was not the best. It was not my best day.
Well,
just saying.
A black pashmina might have done well for...
But it's made a fabulous...
The legend lives on from Chickawaga on down. Of the little chick they call old Chigusmi. Superior she feels if she's had a good meal, and her ideas come from I Love Lucy. With a fresh load of cash, she went out for a bash, fully loaded with her box of vino. And later that night, with Cher's arm on her right, came the wreck and the lime green Pashmina.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Oh, and also, thank you for the Beaver Liquors hat. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
an actual place.
Pardon me?
Beaver
yeah,
Liquors.
Yeah, he moved. Rocky place. Mountain Mike moved right next to Beaver Liquors.
That's right.
Okay. Alrighty. Oh, it's a love letter. Looky here. Let's see. Oh, it's from John. Little has two moms. Little is his pigeon, who he sends us a picture of.
His Aww. Pigeon? Okay.
Hi, Steph. I raise pigeons as a hobby and love these two gay pigeons as much as I love my straight pigeons. This is such a love letter. Hmm. These two female helmets. It's kind of
Sorry,
pigeon.
What?
It's kind of, oh, excuse me.
That's a pigeon that looks like it has a helmet on.
Right.
Yeah, with markings
okay.
on.
Got it.
Okay. No word if he lives near Beaver Liquors, but my point is... These two female helmets live together as mates during breeding season. They lay four eggs, two each. The eggs are not fertile, so once in a while I give them a fertile egg from another Aww. Pair so they can hatch and raise a baby.
Aww.
The baby, Squeaker, is of a different breed. She's an old German owl, but Huckleberry and Boysenberry, those are the two lazy pigeons.
Huckleberry.
Are very open-minded and accepting of the odd little thing in their nest with them.
Wait, don't owls eat? Pigeon?
Owls are predators, yeah.
This might not be a good idea.
No.
This may not end well. I could split them up and mate them and do some to some nice males, but they seem very happy together, so there's no point in doing this.
They moved right in together, didn't they?
Wow.
That's what it sounds like.
Did they
make flannel shirts that small?
It's a pretty big
They made their nest really
the
fast there. With little power tools.
Yeah.
Okay. They make great foster parents and are a joy to watch together. No bullying, no driving to the nest, no demanding sex. See? Hmm. I used to think there was nothing more useless than a queer pigeon, but I've changed my mind.
Oh.
Since I began listening to your show, I've become much more open-minded. Thank you. And don't let the fart jokes go by the wayside. They're the reason I listen. There are some happy lesbian pigeons that John owns because of me.
Huckleberry and Boysenberry.
I love you, Huckleberry and Boysenberry. You were born this way. I would love you. Okay. All right. We have a lot of wildlife watching our show. Have you noticed?
I've noticed that.
There's all kinds of pictures of finches and babies and
dinosaurs. You consider babies wildlife?
Yes. They're uncontrollable and unpredictable.
It's a Stephanie Miller Show.
And sometimes they're predators.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Totally. All people's dogs watching the show, dancing. I don't know what's happening. All right. Kids, sexyliberal.com, the website. Tickets are... They're going crazy after the big Boston show this past weekend. Tickets flying out the door for July 28th at Pantages in L.A. Columbus, August 18th. Tickets almost gone there. And are you kidding me? No way. Almost gone for September.
Seattle, Washington. Grunge may be done, but the 2012 elections are just firing up. And just in time, everyone's favorite Gen Xer, Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, right.
And her band of sexy liberal cohorts are coming back to you.
I get so horny when I'm in Seattle.
USA, I give Seattle and Tacoma much play.
On Saturday, September 29th, 2012, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will return to the Great Northwest. The Paramount Theater will host the most successful progressive comedy trio of our time. Featuring John Fugelson, Hal Sparks, and a favorite of Pike Place Market, Stephanie Miller.
Her brand of tuna was best.
Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4849. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Paramount Theater. Seattle, Washington, this is your final chance before the 2012 election to experience pure progressive nirvana.
What? Okay, thank you, Mike.
What is wrong with you?
Turns out there's a little label
inside. It's like the Rolling Stone thing.
Yes, just like
it's
that.
It's just the lips with the, you know. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we?
Oh, my God!
All right. Oh, for heaven's sake, get your panties out of the twist. Okay. Mike Huckabee, he's got himself a radio show.
For those of us who listen to conservative talk radio, if you listen to this show every day, if you get your information from conservative publications,
you're an idiot.
And you get it from conservative radio or television programs,
you're not getting information.
It is going to be a polarizing, painful election to watch. So we hope to hold your hand.
Oh, dear.
Guide you through
oh,
this.
Oh, dear.
Make it comfortable for you. Most of all, make it sensible to you.
Oh, yes.
Hold your outstretched right hand.
Guide you through our magical fact-free zone.
Yeah.
Just keeping you safe from any alarming sort of facts or figures that might...
So did he kind of admit that conservatives are a bunch of, well... Liars? Pussies?
Yeah, I think so.
Who need handholdings?
Excuse me?
They need to be told.
Why
they
is that okay and that's not okay?
Cats! Kitties!
They need to be told what to think.
They're a bunch of little kitties.
He's just making up new rules willy-nilly around here. I didn't say anything. I just showed you a label. God sakes.
Kind of graphic label.
Yeah, well, you can't see it on the radio, so we can't get thrown off the radio.
You
want
to show it? You're holding it up to the camera.
That's cable television. Jonah Goldberg on Prepare.
The private sector, when he's...
Oh, that's Jonah Goldberg. That's a really good one. Yeah.
Barack Obama has failed to fix
the economy.
So he has to say, hey, look, if the Republicans stopping me from hiring more cops and firefighters, that's keeping us from having a robust economy. And it just doesn't track logically or factually.
Oh, that's not all he said. What? It's one of the things that would have...
Yep. Said the original doughy pant load.
God.
Jonah Goldberg.
I can only get through maybe a paragraph or two of his column in the LA Times, and I'm just like...
And you just have to throw it in the fire?
I almost stopped my subscription to the LA Times, and they replaced Robert Scheer with Jonah Goldberg.
Yeah.
I probably should have.
Yeah.
But they stopped bringing it to me anyway. I better make sure I'm still not paying for it.
By the way, I do that same gag reflex every day. Every day I try it again. Like, maybe it'll be better today.
No.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh.
The private sector, when he's... The private sector is doing just fine. He says that with a smirk. He says it with resentment.
What?
No, he wasn't saying the private sector is fine the way you and I would say it if it were and if we meant it.
He was saying the private sector is doing fine.
Obama and leftists like him hold people in contempt. Average ordinary Americans are held in contempt. They really are. Looked down upon as an arrogant condescension.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh. Uppity.
Yes.
That's what he means.
Sure. Uh-huh. Code word. Dog whistle.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Wow, are they still on this story? Seriously? Any carbon-based life form in the world knows he meant in relation to the public sector, which he had just said in the sentence before.
Yeah.
Okay, Gretchen Carlson.
The White House hitting the reset button this morning. After a bad week, the Obama camp is looking for some good news. So what will it be, Mr. President? Doubling down on green energy now, good campaign platform? Or does it sound a bit desperate? We report, and you can decide.
Report without any sort of snark at all. We're just saying...
After you inherited that brilliant economy from George Bush, he
is the president sounding like a desperate socialist?
We're just asking.
And you decide.
You can answer that for yourself.
We're just news. We don't. Huh? The president's spastic Marxist?
Isn't he arrogant?
I don't know.
Arrogant.
Okay. Bill O'Reilly.
Arrogant. Who does he think he is?
Oh, are they still letting Fox Security still letting Glenn Beck back in?
Yes.
Awesome. On Bill O'Reilly.
In my opinion, Barack Obama is the most liberal president ever to hold.
Well, then you're a moron.
I think I can actually say, and you know how I feel about Woodrow Wilson, I think he is the worst, the fundamental changing to the core president we've ever had.
Okay.
What?
Wow, there's a couple of historians there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Woodrow Wilson?
Wow. Okay. You don't even need to. That's fine. You know what? Let's just end with Tony Perkins, because he could not be more excited.
No, mother blood! No!
It's a different guy.
No, the family. It's Gay Pride Month. Oh, my God. He's feeling super.
The month of June is Gay Pride Month. Now, I've not yet seen where they have declared adultery.
Wow,
Pride
Month. Scintillating.
I've not seen where they have declared the drunkenness Pride Month.
That's every month for me.
No.
Oh, is that it? Oh, he's all done? Yeah. Okay, that was good. Okay, so I see homosexuality exactly like alcoholism or adultery.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, then. All right, well, we didn't declare douche nozzle month, and yet you're on TV, you know.
He keeps
we celebrate
up.
You. All right, that concludes Right Wing World. Woo, not a moment too soon for me. I got a rumbly in my tumbly over that.
Yeah, I know.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, and looky here. George Zimmerman's wife arrested on perjury charges. Oh, dear. It's getting curiouser and curiouser.
The
story seems to be unraveling. All right, meanwhile, you
help
can...
Help or I'll shoot.
Okay. In other news, you can see naked face-eating zombies. Oh, don't look at that. Okay. That guy? Cannibal victim Ronald Popo?
Yeah.
He's, wow, they've released photos. Don't
really?
Know.
I didn't click through.
I did not click through.
Really,
did not click through.
Rather not. Thank you.
No, thank you. Doctors at the Jackson Memorial Hospital in Florida have released photos of the homeless man who had significant, as it turns out, only 50%, not 75%.
Right.
Oh, well.
There. And those photos are...
Welcome to being awake.
What's
Here's
his,
the good
what's
news.
His name again?
Ronald Pop.
And those photos are, as the kids say, NSFW. Not safe for work.
He is said to be awake and alert and following the NBA playoffs. He reportedly expressed interest in support for the local teams, telling doctors, go Heat. As in Miami Heat.
Yeah, good for him.
Okay. That's a sports nut. Okay, half my face is gone.
Whatever.
Wow.
How are the Heat doing? Good?
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Well,
okay.
If he's up and talking, have we, like, gotten a story from him? Have we...
Nah, I don't think so. I think they're still treating his injuries.
Okay, but if he's well enough to be following the...
I think his nose and one eye are gone and the other eye, they're not sure if he can... Okay. I don't know if he's actually watching the Heat or I don't...
Oh.
Okay, I just...
All right, I would like to get the story from him at some point, though.
Yes, me too. Not in person.
Write it down or something, maybe.
Jerry in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, crew.
Good morning.
I have a rather strange hobby in that I go on Facebook and actually try to engage right-wingers so that as they put out their rhetoric, I can inject fact.
Oh, dear.
Which is why I watch your show.
That's like
I've noticed a trend developing lately, especially up in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Dakota area. Mm-hmm. And it seems that as the teachers are being laid off and reduced, they first started talking about they wanted the ability to go to charters. As I push them and press them on this issue, the charters have now gone to, well, we want vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're seeking is the for-profit schools or the church schools, and it's just about the same way that Arizona went to the for-profit prisons.
Right. Yeah, oh, gee, and Jan Brewer weirdly benefited from that, the private prisons. Interesting. Mm-hmm. By the way, Jim, have you heard that Ronald Popo is on no Facebook?
Oh.
I did. I stole your joke, and I did it back to you again.
Well, technically, half Facebook.
Sure, is there one? That is just ghoulish humor, and it's wrong. Brian and Charlotte, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, I don't understand what Republicans don't understand about math. Okay, as far as what Dennis was talking about with the taxes, what he doesn't seem to grasp is there are less people paying taxes nowadays than there were when George Bush was in office. So even if we stayed at the current spending levels, there will continue to be a deficit because we're continuing to spend money. Mm-hmm. Even though Obama decreased the amount of spending that government does, we're still in a deficit because less people are paying taxes.
Yep.
Not only did he cut the taxes, nobody has a job.
Yep.
So unless people start to work and we bring the unemployment down, there will continue to be a deficit. This is why you see Paul Ryan and them feverishly trying to push to cut Medicaid, Medicare, and all the social services because they want to keep the tax levels at where they are. They don't want their taxes increased. They don't want to pay for nothing. And as far as the for-profit health or the health insurance companies go, they know two things. They know if the Supreme Court strikes down the individual mandate, they're going to be put in the chaos because they're going to be required to take people with pre-existing conditions.
Yep.
They can't pay for those people if they can't have a mandate.
Yep.
Secondly, if the Supreme Court strikes down the entire law, then the Republicans will get blamed by the people.
That's
why they're trying to throw cover toward the
That's
Republicans.
Right. There you go. Well, you got that out now. Do you feel better? You that was
I feel much better.
There you go. There
Brian,
you
the,
go.
Brian, the chat
gentle
room
down
is...
now. Gentle down.
Yeah,
okay.
The chat room is a little shocked that a caller is using math properly on the show. That's awesome.
Yes, and he got it out of the system.
Yes.
Good. All right. It was like a mental colon blow. All right. James in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Honored to be on the show.
Good. Go ahead.
I wanted to see if any of you heard about Mike Pence, who is the district I live in. He's a Republican congressman. He's running for governor of Indiana.
Yes.
And in his manifesto, he makes no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He wants to ban all forms of contraception in Indiana. As if we needed to run people out of state.
Yeah, yeah. It really is incredible. Welcome back to 1952, everybody.
Yep.
I'm going to go get Jim some coffee during the break now. Stop.
You know I like
yapping.
It. Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
I have never acted like I don't like it. 29 minutes after the hour, Governor Jesse Ventura is next to talk about his new book as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Excuse me. Hi. Could I get a real bottle, please? I'm an alcoholic, not a Barbie doll.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes
filling
after the hour.
Keeping Billy Squire void in the radio.
Yes, absolutely.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. He writes like a book a minute, like Tom Hartman, for God's sakes. Jesse Ventura has a new book out, Democrips and Rebloodlicans.
Republicans.
I said it right. Okay. Governor Jesse Ventura joins us now. Good morning, Gov.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you? And I don't write a book a minute. I do one every year when I spend 4 months in Mexico.
There you go. Pardon me. I did not check my paper calendar.
Stephanie, I don't watch TV down there, and I generally read about 15 to 17 books all winter. So, you know, that's the time when I write the books with Dick Russell, because Dick comes down there also at the same time.
Awesome.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Awesome. So I was reading a piece that somebody said, as you've been promoting your new book, you have been having a difficult time getting booked. You said, this is the first book where I'm being canceled. As you know, I'm not scared of you. I find you cuddly.
Well, thank you. But, yeah, Don Imus was all scheduled. I was scheduled to do it. His management and all them were hot to have me. And then Don Imus said, I'm not putting him on the air. And that was the end of it.
I think it
was because they asked me for 5 songs that they could use to bring me in and out with.
Yeah.
And I picked 4 of the songs were from Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, that's not Imus. Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, they were banned from being played during the Trump up to the Iraq War and during the Iraq War. Tom Morello, their lead guitar player, is my new musical hero. Oh. If you've ever heard him sing The Ghost of Tom Joad.
Yes, yes.
Yep. Every time I hear that song with him and Springsteen, mm-hmm. I want to run for president.
Do it. Shockingly being blocked by Fox News, you said, I'm already falling victim to the corporate media. You know, Gov, that's the interesting thing. That's why, I mean, we're here at Current. I mean, that's why Current was created, because, you know, to offer an alternative to the corporate media. I don't agree with half of what you say, but see, I'll just gloss over those parts and talk about the parts I agree with you on. Well, but I'm not scared to have you on.
What do you disagree with me?
Well, I'm not going to focus at all on Democrats. I'm just going to go right to Rebled Lacans.
Okay.
So, I'm just kidding. Now, no, but you have a lot of stuff in here that, you know, I think should be relevant to everybody. One quote I saw in here that you put from Teddy Roosevelt, it shall be unlawful for any national bank or any corporation organized by the authority of any laws of Congress to make a money contribution in connection with any election to any political office. Teddy Roosevelt from the Tillman Act in 1907. What happened to that?
It got lost in the shuffle somewhere. And it's even better than that, how the Constitution states we shall have no central bank. Well, what's the Federal Reserve?
Mm.
So they defy the Constitution in creating a central bank, and nothing's done about it. That actually ties into my court case where I sued the TSA and Homeland Security. What it is they created this thing called administrative law. That's where if the president signs an executive order and Congress approves it to implement it, it's then above the Constitution.
Do you fly now?
No.
Oh, you don't?
I stopped flying because I have metal in my body, and I tried to go to court over it. The federal judge ruled I sued under my 4th Amendment, reasonable search and seizure.
Mm-hmm.
The federal judge threw it out of court and said she didn't have jurisdiction.
Wow. How do you get around on a book tour?
I'm doing everything from Minnesota, and I'm only doing book signings in Minnesota.
Wow.
And I haven't flown in almost 2 years. I refuse to fly because I, as a veteran, a former mayor, and a former governor, am sick of being treated like a criminal at an airport.
Sure. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And people need to understand, in light of my case, when you go to any airport in America, you are not protected by the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. They can do anything they want to you out there, and you have nowhere to go to seek redress because everyone that tries to sue, the judges throw it out.
And wasn't it convenient that Michael Chertoff had a technology ready for a problem which did not yet exist?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Chertoff's the one making all the money off of these x-ray machines. That's his company.
Yeah, and I have to fly a lot. Let me just tell you, you're not missing anything. It still sucks.
It's horrid. I took the train last year. It was wonderful.
Yeah,
I actually arrived calm and relaxed, where you go to an airport today, there's so much tension out there, and it's horrible.
By the way, I
don't miss it.
You know, Gov, I actually love the train, too, and that's what I hate about this becomes this big government. Like, it's come to encompass everything that Republicans used to be for, like infrastructure, like highways, like the high-speed rail. Like, you know, I mean, at this point, I can't believe we're, you know, in America, and we don't have high-speed rail.
Yeah, we're so behind, mm-hmm. and it's ridiculous. Well, you know why? That's the influence of the fossil fuel people in cars.
Yes, mm-hmm. yep. absolutely.
They want us all in cars, and they don't want to provide any mass transit.
That's what killed the Red Line in L.A.
What's interesting, when I put in the first light rail line as governor of Minnesota, my biggest adversary were the Republicans, and I went to the Republican leader and I said, look, this rail line is going to go right through the worst part of Minneapolis where we have most of our welfare people. It will give them the ability to go out and get jobs and have transportation. You know what he said to me?
Mm.
And this is what it's all about with this book. He said to me, I don't have anyone elected down there. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, here
and
we are.
That's what it's all about.
Well,
it isn't about doing the right thing for the country. It's about doing the right thing for their political gang.
You know, you mentioned the big oil. I mean, you talk about the Tea Party and it being funded by Koch Industries, which is big oil.
Yep.
They gave $55 million in bribes to scientists to say global warming is a hoax.
Yep.
They were largely behind, you know, pushing for Citizens United, and so here we are.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, the only way, like I said, I have a solution for the candidates for president. You know what that is?
What?
I think that all presidential candidates should be required to wear NASCAR racing suits like Jimmy Johnson.
You know what? That is a fantastic idea.
That
yes.
way they got all the patches of who has bribed them and who owns them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm very upfront about it here on the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the Occupy movement, and obviously at least that we're having a conversation about income inequality. But one of the things you talk about in the book, the CEO of Walmart earns $19,000 an hour. At the same time, his million or so employees have to work holidays for between $8 and $10 an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, that says it all, doesn't it?
Well, here's what says it all. This current recession or depression we're in, 99% of us have lost wealth, me included, with our homes and everything like that.
Right.
Yet the upper 1%, the billionaires, we have it documented in the book. They've increased their wealth during this recession 5 times.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So if you're worth $10 billion, you're now worth $50 billion.
Yep. Gov, we've been talking all morning about healthcare and, you know, the big healthcare companies, the insurance companies saying, oh, you know, we'll do the right thing and keep all these provisions even if the Supreme Court strikes it down. And I thought, gee, that makes me suspicious. I'm not a conspiratorial person, but you write in your book, leaders of Cigna, Humana, United Health, WellPoint, Aetna received nearly $200 million in compensation in 2009, while the company sought rate increases as high as 39%. Am I the only one that doesn't trust that they're going to do the right thing if there's no regulation to ensure that if the Supreme Court does strike this down?
Corporations are not going to do the right thing. Corporations have no soul. All they have is a bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to understand that. When the Supreme Court ruled that corporations have the same equal rights as individuals, and when they ruled that money is free speech, that was the lowest day in our country's history, in my opinion. I would like to see this. The next time a guy robs the bank, he should use free speech as his defense. Say, I was just practicing free speech.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Supreme Court said that money's free speech.
Yep, absolutely. And here you have one of the major candidates saying, no, corporations are people. I mean,
yeah, right.
Well, corporations are...
You know what? If they elect Mitt Romney, you know who they're getting, don't you? Gordon Gekko.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, because what Bain or whoever it was he worked for in the private sector, that's exactly what their job was. They were hostile corporate takeover. They'd take over companies. They would shred them and make huge profits and send everybody to the unemployment line. And yet he's going to tell us he knows how to create jobs. He only knows how the jobs he creates is in-line jobs.
And by the way, Gov, not Gordon Gekko in his prime, but Michael Douglas in the crappy sequel. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The old Gordon Gekko.
Yeah, the old Gordon Gekko, the one with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
that's the Gordon Gekko I'm talking
right.
about.
But if corporations are people, they should be required to die at some point.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too.
Right, when Texas executes one,
when the government uses one of their unmanned drones to kill a corporation,
there you go.
Then they'll have equality.
Gov, you have been obviously very, as a former Navy SEAL, outspoken against the wars. Did you happen to see this week, which I thought was, you know, unbelievably tragic on top of tragedy, but that the rate of suicides, that our troops committed suicide has now overtaken combat deaths?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, this country gives this false patriotism, this phony crap where they go to football games and honor and thank you for protecting our freedom. Our freedoms have never been in jeopardy in these last wars one bit. What you have, people need to read the works of General Smedley Butler.
Yes.
Smedley Butler was the highest decorated Marine in history. He won 2 Congressional Medals of Honor. And when you read his memoirs, he tells you back in the night, early, when he, before he died in the 40s, He said, I didn't defend the people of America. He said, I defended the United Fruit Corporation. Mm-hmm. When they would go down into Central and South America, if they didn't get cooperation, they sent in the U.S. Marines to get it. Mm-hmm. So it's been going on for an entire century. Military people are not fighting for our freedom. They're fighting for the corporations throughout the world.
Governor Ventura, I want to say clearly I am more man than Don Imus will ever be, and you remain smart and cuddly, and I love your new book, Democrips and Rebloodlicans.
Republicans. Rebloodlicans.
Yes, exactly. Well, no more gangs in government.
Stephanie, let me finish with this. Okay. For all the Ron Paul people, and I'm one of them, Paul obviously isn't going to be a choice. He won't be on the ballot, but we still have hope. Remember, Ron Paul was a libertarian in 88. Governor Gary Johnson of New Mexico, he was governor of New Mexico when I was governor of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He is phenomenal. He is the libertarian candidate for governor, or for president, excuse me. And all of us need to vote for Gary Johnson. That will send a message. And he can win. All these people that say you can't win, well, Jesse Ventura won.
That's right.
And they told me I couldn't win. Well, and so if we would all vote, all the Ron Paul people, vote for Governor Johnson, even if he gets 20%, it'll send a shockwave.
Right. Well, I recommend that highly at the Republican convention so that you could throw that into chaos, and I highly recommend that. Thank you, Governor Ventura. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you,
Governor. I just won't.
That's right.
Putty tat. All right. Thank you, Governor Ventura. Take that on.
You know what? I agree with a lot of what Gary Johnson stands for.
Hmm. See what I do there? I stay on the parts we agree on.
Yeah.
And it's all magical. Yeah. All right.
And he remains cuddly.
Not in the general, don't vote for.
Computer says no.
Just do, you know what? I would start a revolt. Yes, go do it at the Republican convention. Gary Johnson, Gary, broker convention. Woo!
The RNC is doing everything they can to keep Gary people like,
broker yeah. convention. Come on, last minute. You could take Mittens out in a coup. Thanks for the idea, well, Governor Ventura.
Yeah, but Gary Johnson has nothing to do with the Republican Party. He's on the Libertarian ticket.
Yes,
so.
But go, do. I think that's... let's go, poll box. Ron poll box. Let's go. 47
you
minutes.
You know what, Romney?
No.
Anyone but Romney.
Yes. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
See, because she got hit in the head with a pole.
Oh, I get it. Lady yeah. Gaga did. Yes, she's fine now. Thank you, Chris. Stop it.
What?
Ow!
Who's the guy getting hit in the head with a set? What was his name?
I have no idea. But she's okay. She's recovering. She had a concussion.
Yes.
She tweeted a picture of herself with
a little bruise. Yeah.
Well, not a little bruise. She had two black eyes from it.
She wasn't born that way, I gather.
No. Wowee. Thank God they built this Captain America underpants set really sturdy, hopefully.
Ow.
Right. Brett Michaels, is that what I mean?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No.
At the Tony Awards when the stage came down on him.
Brenda in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Brenda?
I'm just so excited about your show and your beautiful hats matching your blouses. Steph, you are all right in my book.
Thank you.
I love that. I love that. I just want to say a couple of things about Mitt Romney.
Okay.
Poor Mitt Romney. He's so happy he got this for. He just like ants in his pants. Shaking and a jiggling, Steph, I tell you. But no one thing. Mitt Romney don't want the economy to get no better.
That's right.
And his colleagues, they want it to stay where it is. But I guarantee you, the good Lord is going to bless our president, and he's going back for four more years.
That's right.
So
amen.
I'm holding on to that, and I got faith in than that. They can talk all they want and pull them down, but I know God got his back, and he's got your back. And I love you, girl.
I love you back,
good
girl.
Work, baby.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Work, you and your
go,
crew.
Brenda.
I love that. I love your honesty, and I just love your attitude.
I love you, too.
Oh,
I love you,
God,
too.
I love you.
I love
oh, my
you, Brenda.
God. We got to save that call.
It ain't a man's world.
Wow, this is getting weirder and weirder. Homeless man attacked by transient with vampire teeth. You mean
what?
The plastic
oh,
kind
on.
From Halloween or
this
real?
This is just a joke now.
No.
Come on, this is like performance art.
No, Gawker brings us the story. The last 2 weeks have been nothing but stories of homeless men being attacked by zombies. So it's nice to take a break from all that and read about homeless men being attacked by vampires instead.
I blame
what?
HBO.
What? I blame Twilight.
Yeah.
The victim described the man who threatened him and kicked him until he bled as having vampire teeth.
Yeah, well, that's just window dressing. It's just I think it's just a standard issue bully.
Somebody
happened to have some plastic vampire teeth.
Somebody commented last week zombies, this week homeless vampires, next week flamboyantly gay werewolves.
I think they had that in Twilight too.
It's gonna take more than a silver bullet to stop me. Yeah. Oh, in a completely unrelated story, the feds are suing Larry Craig, Senator White Stance Larry Craig, for improper
use. What do you think of that? Proper use of what?
Campaign funds.
Of a men's room?
Federal,
oh, okay.
Well, that too. Federal campaign regulators have brought the hammer down. Ooh, we might like that.
On
disgraced former Senator Larry Craig, accusing of misusing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of campaign cash to pay for
Did
his
legal... Did someone
Google,
say hammer?
His legal... defense. Oh, come on. It's June. It's Gay Pride Month. Come
I'm
on out. Larry, come
coming
on.
Out. No, no, no. I am not gay. I'm coming out. I never have been gay.
Am I a romantic?
Well, I'm coming out because I am
the bad boy, a naughty boy. Probably even a nasty, bad, naughty boy.
Yeah. You know what would be the most awesomeness?
What?
In the, all this whole rush toward marriage equality?
What?
He comes out and marries Marcus Bachman. That'd be super.
Oh, I'm asking. Super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
I think he wants to change the Tea Party flag into, yes, please tread on me.
Wow.
I'll pay you extra for it.
Okay. Oh, Lindsay Lohan has dodged the booze bullet.
Oh, boy.
Lindsay
no.
Lohan was driving
Again.
With an open container of alcohol when she crashed into that truck on PCH.
Uh-huh.
Law enforcement sources tell TMZ. Both law enforcement sources and the tow truck driver tells them cops confiscated a plastic water bottle from the trunk of the Porsche. And it
Full
contained alcohol. However, it's not a violation to carry an open container in
the trunk.
So Lindsay skates on that one.
Oh, boy. Of course, the trunk is in the front on a Porsche, so maybe there's like a hatch underneath the dashboard where she could
Jim is Jim, a well-known car guy, already buys her story yes. that an 18-wheeler
Don't drive like
cut
my
off,
brother.
Caught off, cut off her,
sure,
her
yeah,
in a Porsche.
Sure, yeah, 18-wheelers are notoriously more maneuverable than a Porsche.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no. Jenny McCarthy won't wax for an upcoming Playboy shoot?
Oh.
Listen, I'm, you know what, because I'm a giver, I'm sending her one of my no-no hair removal systems. I have extras, Jenny, please.
Well, she said that she didn't want people to see her bits, so that's why she grew it out. Okay, then.
I'm sending you a no-no. I'm a helper.
Reasonable. Well, then just stay out of Playboy if you don't want anybody to see your bits.
That's why they named that device, because that's what people see yeah. say when they see
well,
that. No,
no, no, no, no, no. In the early 60s, you couldn't see any bits in Playboy. You were likely to see a butt.
And you know
Jim,
this
Jim's
because when we lived
wow.
On UC Riverside campus in the early 60s, the gardeners had this little
wow.
shack where they had the Playboy centerfolds up there. And you could see like the back and just like the top of her butt. And
so that's where Squeezy...
All right, Jim has a,
really?
A parting gift for
Come
today.
Come on.
Look out, the homecoming queen's got a Twitter account. Miss Pennsylvania said Miss South Carolina and Miss Colorado were too ugly for the top 16. And there they are right there, Jim.
They're quite beautiful.
Meow.
Yeah.
Whatever, mean
yeah,
girl.
Okay. Do.
Jim, you can, ugly? You can keep
really?
You can keep that.
Wow.
You can keep
okay.
that. Don't bring that back. Mm. Okay. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Crystal Boy, Jim Ward, Rebecca
it's
Taylor.
It's already stuck together. How'd that happen?
What? Oh, God.
Jackie Schechner and Courtney and the gang in the control room. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.